was building the Mishkan. We have a Kamasa Mishkan. Since the purpose of creation is to create a place that's distant, that's far from the revelation of Hashem, and that man could be in that place, and man could earn his connection to Hashem. So this happened really Yom HaKamos HaMishkan. So the Aleph Nisan, we know that from Chav Gimel Adar till Aleph Nisan, Chassidim will say Tachnun, because those 7 days in the Mishkan, every day was erected and taken down. Every day was built and taken down. Till the 8th day was built and stayed. And that day, it says, the Medrash brings down that day was a very special day. It took 10 crowns. I mean, 10, it was the first time the Shekhinah ever rested in the world. It was the first time Karbanos ever came to the world. That day, Hashem said many inyanim. Because on that day, the purpose of creation came in, finally. It's interesting that we have in Shabbos 39 malachas that we're prohibited to do. Right? You know that? Lamatas malachas? You guys aware of that? 39? Right? Mishnah Shabbos.
40 minus 1.
Obey Yochasachat. What is this number 39? Where does it come from? Well, how did Chazal decide that these 39 malachas, because these 39 malachas are the malachas that were used in the Mishkan. There were 39 types of work that was done in the Mishkan, and that 39 types of work is what's considered work, and that work is also on Shabbos. The smichas of Mishkan and Shabbos. That 39, why was there 39 malachas in building the Mishkan? Let's go back, let's backtrack. Because, like we said, the purpose of man is that man should be in the world, and man should fix this world, makes this world as a place for the Shekhinah. This was the purpose of Adam HaRishon. When Adam HaRishon, Hashem put him in Gan Eden. And his purpose was Avdeo L'Shamra, was to serve Hashem and to reveal Hashem in that space. But we know instead he did it in Techet Adam HaRishon. So in Techet Adam HaRishon, there were 39 curses that were introduced into creation. And this all brings down 10 to man, 10 to the woman, 10 to the snake, and 9 to the earth. This number 39 is not a coincidental number. It goes back deeper. I don't want to get into deeper, but in the four miluim of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei that Hashem teaches us, this letter Yud, letter Hey, letter Vav, and letter Hey. If you spell them out, there's a milu. We speak about this a lot. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. If you spell it out, right? Yud is a Yud Vav Dalet. Hey could be Hey Aleph. Could be Hey Hey or Hey Yud. There's three ways to spell a Hey. A Vav could be Vav Aleph Vav. Vav Yud Vav or Vav Vav. So these differences in how to memala the name of Hashem, how to spell the letters in Hashem's name, are a very big deal. That's how to bring godliness into this world. So there's 39 letters of when you spell out the Yud Kei Vav Kei, there's 39 letters. So not to complicate, but to simplify, understand that man had a mission. This 39 is Gematria Havaya Echad. Yud Kei Vav Kei, 26. Echad, 13. Right? So that means man's mission is to be in a space of duality, to be in that space that Hashem is hidden, and to crown the one king, and to make that one king Hashem Echad. So there's 39 bechinas that man must do. And when man didn't do them, there were 39 curses that the creation received, parallel to those 39 levels of not memala the Shem Hashem, of not bringing the Shem Hashem to milui. The fulfillment to, and therefore later on, when Am Yisrael leave Mitzrayim and then we become a nation, we don't just become a nation, we go back to being Adam Rishon before the sin. It means that Adam Rishon until now was one man. Obviously, we were all potentially included inside of him, just like your kids are right now, or your grandkids are potentially inside of you too. But they're not actualized. When Am Yisrael stood in Har Sinai, there were 600,000 men full. That means that Adam Rishon's potential as a nation was actualized. Here they are standing. Together, they are one man. They're one other. And what are they doing together? Let's fix what we needed to fix back then. Let's go back to do this 39 malachas to reveal Havaya Echad in the world. And these malachas have to do with the malachas of the Mishkan. And that's why the Mishkan, which is the structure that reveals God in the world, had to be made with those exact 39 malachas. Because that's the purpose of man. So therefore, the day of HaKamos HaMishkan, you could look at it as a celebration by God, like the day of creation of man. Imagine you create man, you create a whole world. And it's okay, it'll be there in a minute. But really, like, it takes what? It takes another week, right? Like, by us, like, in the dorm, another month. Imagine the day that it's done. You're going to see Shmuley glowing like the sun. Like, wow, this is what should have been a year ago. That's exactly how Hashem felt at the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan. And the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan said, finally, mankind got together these 39 Bechinas. Mankind is revealing God in the world. Obviously, in a much more developed. We see that it's not just, oh, okay, now finally. No, no, now it's not just done by one person. It's done by 600,000 men. Okay, so this HaKamas HaMishkan, and that's why, if you ever wonder about all this Surim Darabanan, why did the rabbis decide, I can't turn on a light on Shabbos? Right, people think about this, they ask me all the time. A person on Shabbos, you're allowed to pick up this chair, this table, and walk around with it all day until you're schwitz and sweat. I don't recommend doing it, but you're allowed to do it if you want. It's not Shabbos, Dick. Turn on the switch, you can't. Why? Why? Right? Think about it.
Big thing for me, that was a recent thing. I used to just keep Shabbos and use the light switch back at home on the farm.
And what was your mindset?
It was like the best I could do because I'm trying my hardest already to keep Shabbos. I'm doing so much other things that like this small little bit of just flicking the switch so I could read and enjoy my time, so I could play this game better, so I can now go to sleep and enjoy my sleep better. Like I...
Right, you're like, this can't be like this. Nah, this is not like breaking Shabbos. Like,
do I have to make another loophole of making it a Shabbos light switch where it's like built in? The light switch is on, but there's a cover on it that has to move.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So instead of touching the piece of plastic that moves to touch a piece of metal that makes
which would close the circuit and would make it a malacha of bina. So right. Imagine right now that you're at my house for Shabbos and I bring this great fish that we just, you know, me and Bueller caught in the Kinneret. And you're saying, wow, I really want to eat this fish, but I got to just take out these bones to enjoy this fish, L'chava Chavez. And that would be Bayer, that would be Usr. It means this melachas are like, what, to take out? Like, I want to sit down and eat a meal now. Like, I can't take out this fish bone. Like, what are you talking about? So instead that the melachas of Shabbos have nothing to do with how much stress or strength or effort goes into them. It has to do with which melachas are necessary for man to bring God into this world. That's melachas HaMishkan. Okay. So now that finally when this day takes place and the Mishkan is built, you would think this day is such a celebration, mamish. And this day, Nadav and Avihu are burnt in Kodesh HaKadosh. So we see like a mashal. Imagine like, I just want to read to you guys the mashal, one of the mashalim here from the Medrash, to see how it wasn't just, what was it? I just saw it right now. Medrash brings a mashal, like a guy that invites all his friends. Where is it? I just saw it. To his son's chasana. And then he tells his son, oh, there's a lot of guests here. There's more people than I thought. Could you go up to the attic and bring some more wine? So the son goes up to the attic to bring more wine. A snake bites him and he dies. So his father's like, where's my son? I went to send to get wine an hour ago. He goes up to the attic. Now he finds his son. So he goes down, he tells his friends, he said, friends, you thought you came here for my son's chasana. You actually came for my son's levaya. Like imagine that day, like that's how that day, the death of Nadav and Avihu on that day, Am Yisrael was together for a chasana. And mankind lived up to what man is meant to do. We built the structure for Hashem in the world. We built the structure of Avaya Echa. The Misa of Nadav and Avihu. It's a mystery. Why did Nadav and Avihu, why were they, so there's many, many reasons. Actually, no, okay, I didn't think we'd get into it, but let's get into it. All kinds of opinions. So Bar Kapara, B'Shem Lazar says like this. These are the four reasons. Ala kirva, ala kirva, es zara, shenu adlu etzah zemizah. They went lifnai v'lifnim. He said that they went in the whole chet of Nadav and Aviv was asher lo tziva otam, that they did something very elevated. Ketores is very, very, very big carbon. Ketores connects all the worlds, but they weren't. They went too much higher than their level.
Like the story of Pardes.
You could equate it maybe to something, right? To the people that came to the Pardes that were not ready. But over there is different levels.
But that is
Pardes. They didn't take advice from each other. This is very deep. Sometimes you're so inspired to do something, you're like, just want to do it. But it's important to take counsel, to take advice. That's over here, that's one. Over here, he says, Abba Mesim, this is more of the classic. One of them is Sheyeshtuya Yayin, because they drank wine. There's tons of midrashim, tons of reasons why they were in Niftar. Shemechusere Begadim, they went out with a big day kahuna. They were in a hanging of a me'il. Shenichasu benoy chisisidayim v'raglayim. Shtuya Yayin, that's the first. Yeah. Well, that's why, yeah. And Baal Shalai Ulaim Banim, because they didn't have kids. They weren't married, didn't have kids.
Why?
Shchatzim, Rabbi says Shchatzim. They were. Their gam was gaiva because many, many women are waiting to marry them. So if you have a guy that's like, you know,
got to be the king.
They said, "Look, Achi Avinu Melech. My uncle's the king, Moshe. Achi Imeinu Nasi. Our other uncle is the Nasi. Avinu Kohen Gadol. Our father's Kohen Gadol. Anush Nes Ganekuna. We're the next in line for being Kohen Gadol. Is a Isha Ganeslana? Like, is there a woman that's good enough for us?" So there's a lot of reasons. And they've gone. I didn't want to get into the reasons so much. I want to get into something else. Was okay.
Is there a general theme to these reasons? The guy was definitely something there, but there's also like.
No, but they kind of went ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
We spoke about this. That it's very deep, actually, from the. It's not an avera like we imagine. I mean, they're. Hashem told Moshe, I told you that on the day that the Mishkan is going to be built, I'm going to sanctify it by the death of two big tzaddikim. And Moshe thought it was himself, that he was going to die that day, him and Aaron. And then when he saw Nadav and Aviv, he said, wow, I realize they were greater than me.
Wow.
It's not stam. The neshamas of Nadav and Aviv, Alpi Kabbalah, what happens to their neshamas is that they, we know that later on, when Pinchas kills Pinchas ben Lazar ben Anakaya and he kills Zimri ben Sela. You remember that episode?
Yeah.
There's this, right? The Nasi of Shevet Shimon, at one point, the women of Midian were sent by Bilam and by Balak to cause the damage in Am Yisrael, to seduce the men and to cause, and that's actually happened. They tricked the men into idol worship, and there was a Magefa. And Pinchas, when Pinchas was the Ben Elazar ben Aaron, the grandson of Aaron, when he saw this, he killed the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Sela. When he killed him, the Magefa stopped. And Hashem said, because you did this, Hineni Naisin is Bris Shalom. That means you're going to become a Kohen forever. And Pinchas Eliyahu. We know that at that point, Pinchas became Eliyahu. He embodied the position of Eliyahu. Eliyahu is a position in heaven. It's an infinite position. But Pinchas manned up to embody that position. Because he was Moser Nefesh, by going to kill the Nasi of Shevet Shimon and stopping the plague, he actually gave up his life because the Gemara says that they could have killed him back. So he was totally Moser Nefesh. And Al Pi Kabbalah, how does Pinchas become Elio? Because he gets the neshamas of Nadav and Aviv. Their neshamas, that means that they did something way above their level, which was so bunch above their level, they died in the holiest, holiest way. It wasn't a punishment. They just checked in. That's it. So Eliyahu, this unproportional, like, romantic explosion of fire, he didn't take advice. It was like totally like going with the flow. That becomes the property of the neshamas of Eliyahu. Say Ana Hashem Ishiana. Ana is Rosh Tevis Eliyahu Nadav Aviu. Ana is Gematria Eliyahu. Aleph Nun Aleph is 52. It's Eliyahu. And the Pnimius of Eliyahu is Eliyahu Nadav and Aviu. That his neshama is that is that Eliyahu is the one that's here to bring the geula. He's here to go and to wake up all the. He's here to do things that no one does. Like that's really what Navi and Eliyahu wanted. They wanted to get the final tikkun. Like, let's bring it to the end. Just bring geula. Like, bring the k'taris, l'shalei tziva, like beyond the mitzvahs, like beyond just like total romance with Hashem, total. To bring to get to that place. So you say, you're right. There's a gevad level. The world's not ready for it. When is the world going to be ready? Eliyahu Navi will tell everyone when the world's ready. So Eliyahu Navi, he's embodies that position of continuing the avodah of Nadav and Aviv. Okay. No, this chana we started with. I want to start with something else. Oh. So then, after Nadav and Aviv burn, Hashem tells Aaron, just tell Aaron that you can't just walk into the Bais HaMikdash whenever you want. This is where we learn the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippur. You guys learned Yuma? Mishnah Yuma? Remember the Machzor? I don't know if you remember, if you follow the Machzor Yom Kippur, the Avodah of Yom, right? There's a whole Avodah, the Kohen Gadol. He changes clothes, he wears white clothes, and he changes to, goes to the mikveh. There's a whole Avodah. Yom Kippur is a whole Avodah. This is what we learned in this week's parsha, that in order for a man to go in to Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is not a little thing, because understand, when the Kohen goes to bring K'tayres, it says, V'chol Adam lo yeh be'ol moed. It says there could be no human being in Ol Moed when the Kohen goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim. What do you mean there could be no one? So who's going in? The Kohen. Yes, but the Kohen cannot be human at that point. If he's human, he dies. You cannot be human. That means you have to go in on a total level of preparation that when you go in, you're not human. There's a whole Seder of going in. Bezot yavor Aaron al HaKodesh. This is a special karbanis. There's karbanis that we only bring that only on Yom Kippur. There's a special cow, there's two special sheep, right? The gorillas that we do, one Lashem, one Lazazel. You with me, Moish? You're trusting the recording, you listen later. Okay, good. That's good. Space out. That's good.
Spacing into something else.
Yeah, space higher. Yeah. Okay. So bezot yavo aron al kodesh. I mean, there's a way for. I mean, there's a seder. This is a seder. You want to bring God to the world? Great. That's fantastic. You can't just run. There's a seder. You have to do this. Bezot yavo in order for it to work. Because you see that just that blitz romance is just great. But it could also, it's not how Hashem wants to, it doesn't last. People do big avoidance like brush fires. Whoosh, whoosh, and then it goes down. No. You have to do this every year, every day. That tikkun olam takes time. You have to know how to control the excitement, how to control the emotion. So bezot yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. Ze shamar ketuv ki betachbulot ta'aseh lecha milchama. It says the pasuk in Mishlei. This is actually what I think it's either the Mossad or the Shabak. I don't know, one of them. This is their pasuk. You know that the Israeli Moises, like even the army Moises, are made based on psukim.
Don't the different units have their own different songs?
Look, check up. What's the on your phone? Look up the pasuk of the Shabak. Keep it tachbulot aser lecha milchama, right? What is this pasuk?
I think it may have been one of them.
Uchua borov yoetz. They take pasuk from Mishlei. That's their official, like the official. Yeah, like they have this like.
What should I put in?
Keep it tachbulot aser. Even Bibi was quoting this pasuk when he was quoting it in. Tachbula is a conspiracy or tricky, like something tricky. You don't fight wars. Like if you're fight a war, it's not like, okay, who has bigger muscles? It's like, okay, we attack from the east, you attack from the west, divide the troops, go for me. There's tachbulas.
Send in spies.
What?
Magin velo yireh.
Magen, oh, that's their.
It's a Shin Bet. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So that's, where's that pasuk from? Defender that should not be seen. Yeah. So no, this is a different one. Could be one of them. I remember seeing it. I was shocked that they have psukim in their. That's what's... Okay. Rab Nosan and Rab Avraham Shalom Simon.
We'll add a whole lot of questions.
אמר, אם עשית חבילות של עבירות, עשה כנגדן, לא, עשה כנגדן. עשה כנגדן חבילות של מצוות. Okay, put it, don't worry. He says like this. What does this pasuk mean? So now, the psukim that we read, the person opens up Navi. Read Yishaya, read Yirmiyah, anything pasuk. So sometimes there could be the pshat. There's the pshat, the story of what happened there. But each pasuk as a standalone could also have many, many, many interpretations. It's like a riddle. Okay, so if you look, for example, at this pasuk, "Bezot yavo Aron al Kodesh," so Rav Elazar patar kra bayam, patar kra means that he liftor et achida. He give a riddle and you
solve it.
Exactly. Thank you. He solved it. Meaning, he says, "What is this pasuk talking about?" This is talking about when Am Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim. Rav Shul ben Achmani. He says, no, this is talking about a different story, which you have to know a lot of Tanakh to understand this. There's a lot of way. So over here, he's not talking, what is this Bezos Yavaran Lakoidesh? He's going to take it personally. There's a different interpretation of this. If a person finds themselves that they did many, many Averis in their life, Chavilot Shel Averot, bundles of Averis. What's the solution? Do bundles of mitzvahs. Enayim ramot. If a person had his eyes high, that means that an ein rama is gaiva, when a person that you know, you see the tzaddikim, the whole derech of tzaddikim is to look down, to have the eyes down. Even the Naam al-Melech, when he speaks about speaking to people, to not look at them. To walk up, to just look up and to walk around like you're the boss, it's not, you're not.
Seeing just eyes on the stones.
Right. Right. So, enayim ramot, if you're enayim or ramot, they were broad and big and large. What is the tikkun? V'hayu l'tay tafas ben enecha. Put tefillin. Meaning, it's not that the tefillin is there between your eyes. Tefillin is not. Eyes just means eyeballs. It means vision. Understand? How are you seeing the world? The person that's walking around like he's a gangster, like looking around like this, he's seeing the world like from a point of view of his ego. When a person's not doing tshuva now see the world through the eyes of Hashem. See the world through Elikus, meaning put tefillin on. Tefillin is not just putting boxes on your head. It's putting information in our being. It's lifting up our vision. It's lifting up the way we see the world.
Is there one way to see Elikus, or each person has their own perspective and their own way?
I would say that they're both true. We say that every single person is a chelek elokim al mamish, embodies a different bechina of the infinity of Hashem, of the insight of Hashem. Same way a person could have 10 kids, all the kids look like him or like his wife, more or less. But one kid, like that, he took my music. Like he took my, like you can see, like this kid, like magnified certain parts. The same way in Elikus, we're all Elikus, but each one of us is megala different bechina of it. So, at the end, we're all. That's what Gemara says in Tainus. La'asid love Hashem is going to make a machal tzaddikim. Hashem's going to make a dance for all the tzaddikim, and they're all going to dance and say ze eli van vayu. Everyone's going to point to God and say, "Look, that's the God that I'm talking about." Everyone. So that means that. And the tzaddikim talk about is that why is it a circle? Because everyone's going to be in a different position. Like at the end, like imagine you see the Sephardi guy and the Ashkenazi guy and the Litvak and the Chassid saying, "Yeah, that's the same thing." So you're right. From your experience, there were differences, but at the end, you're really connecting to the one, and it's all one. And every person is going to connect to godliness through their, you know, a musician through music and an artist through art and Talmud Chacham through what he sees over here, and every person through what they see. It's important for a person to reveal Hashem the way they understand it. You have to understand. That's what the holy, holy words of the Ramchal, Yesod HaChasidut, Shorash HaAvodat HaTmimah. The beginning, the first words of Maseiros Yesharim that a person should know by heart. The foundation of Chasidus, Shorash HaAvodat, the foundation and root, שיתברר ויתעמת אצל האדם מה חובתו בעולמו. זה שבקרה ברור ואמיתי. That means you have to crystallize and clarify for you over and over and over. Who am I? What am I doing in this world? So, and you're going to find, if you find that the answer is like, whoa, everyone's wrong and idiots and I'm the only guy right, then, you know, recheck yourself again.
It's going to be that everyone's right, but we all have.
Exactly. You have to understand, everyone is meant to see godliness from their point of view. And we're meant to appreciate each other and learn godliness from each other. The Maariv Hashem speaks about going to tzaddikim. It's very important to go to tzaddikim. Why? You go to a tzaddik, you get to the Rebbe, and you're waiting there. There's tons of chassidim. When are you going to see there? I don't know. You'll see him tomorrow or later. I don't know when this time. But meanwhile, so what are you doing? You're just wasting? No. Meanwhile, you see, wow, there's rich people here and there's poor people here. There's people that are way, way, way older than me with all light, long white beards that travel there. There's young kids that are... You see all the avodas from other chassidim. You see, like, wow, there's a way to serve Hashem with singing, and there's a way to serve Hashem with food. And all these inyanim of the chassidim seeing the way to serve each other and chassidim loving each other is a tremendous gilui elikus. It's not just to go to see the rebbe; it's to go to feel the elikus from the chassidim from the opposite of it. And realize, wow, even a person that's very, very rich and very, very busy travels, and even a person who's a tremendous big talmid chacham and a rebbe of a city also travels, and even little kids at mamish kids. There's all kinds of benefit that you see from getting together with chassidim. And so we said over here, there were noitel eitz hazemizeh. We have to noitel eitz hazemizeh to learn from each other. Every person has to know that there's something precious in me that the entire world needs, that I'm the only one that has. And I need everything precious that every single person has. I mean, there's something precious in everyone that I need. And there's something precious in me that everyone needs. That's really, really the real... If you could really see that the world that way, also you could live in shalom with people. If you live in shalom, you realize that the godliness is revealed to many, many, many in Yonim. And the whole life becomes a classroom for you. Everything becomes a teacher, everything.
Talk about how, switch your consciousness to, like, if you're looking for Hashem in every little thing, like what basically we just said, that Rabbi Nachman talks about, that like every little thing, you could be like, what is Hashem trying to tell me here? What's He trying to show me? And
Amen. So first of all, Likutei Moran, Aish Yisraeli tzach yistakel basechel shel kol davar. The Yid has to look at the seichel of everything. Everything has a seichel.
Not just people, like things, everything, like signs and like.
Okay. So, enayim ramot, if a person was nichshar on enayim ramot, he was a tefot ben echad. Shlashon sheker, a person that chas v'shalom find himself lying. You're doing tshuva, the chavilas of sheker, packages of lies. V'limadet emoisem es b'neichem. Teach your kids. Very interesting that that's the opposite. You think like, midvar sheker techak. Teach your kids. It's very interesting because I think teaching the kids, you can't teach the kids sheker. You can't lie to kids, like
lying.
Yeah, if you're, we're talking about the parallel tshuva right now for doing. We're saying that Aaron should enter the kodesh with this particular way. We're translating this entire thing not about Aaron right now. We're translating about every individual right now. That you right now you want to go into the kodesh. That means that you were not in the Kodesh till now. Till now you were doing packages and packages and bundles of Averis. You're involved in a selfish, horrible lifestyle. Now you want to reverse it. You want to come to the Kodesh. Oh, Bezois Yerayin HaKodesh. How? Start doing bundles of mitzvahs. So now we're finding Averis and mitzvahs that are parallel. Right, if you're, like we said at the beginning, if a person's emphasis is on their eyes, so the tefillin corrects their vision. A person lies. So that's parallel to that is teach your kids. How is that parallel, Yehuda?
How is it parallel?
Or other Yehuda?
Once you lie, it's too late. You've lied.
The teaching are given over when you believe in what your essence
right. is. Right. Very nice. That's actually one of the proofs. That's actually one of the proofs for that the Kuzari brings down for the truth of Yiddishkeit. Because, you know, you can't, it's not about proving like a video of what was. But there's logic. The logic is that a person loves this kid. And you're going to always teach your kid the best way to live. And give him over what you believe is the best. So the fact that we're teaching our kids elikus is what we receive. So this, that itself is the proof from Har Sinai. We're always teaching the truth to our kids.
So in other ways, like breaking generational traumas for your children. No?
Breaking generational trauma is a different... Yes. It's... Over here it's talking about teaching your kids as being the tshuva for saying lies.
I think breaking generational traumas is the negative that you want to turn into positive. If you're going, giving over to every generation, if it wouldn't be genuine, it wouldn't give it over.
Right, we're talking about not giving over trauma, we're talking about giving over the positive, is that you're giving over the best. Generational trauma, I don't know how generational trauma, how far back it goes. Like, I know when did that word start?
Is this generation that we're waking up to the idea of Ashkenaz, Auschwitz
is when it started.
Shabtai Tzvi is definitely
trauma. When did it start breaking?
Right.
That's recently the conscious has got.
I think it's yeah.
I actually think that type of thinking is very it's very good Uladik thinking, and I think that thing has to do with exactly what we're talking about Eliyahu HaNavi. The last nevuah that Hashem ever told a Navi was Malachi, the last words in the Navi. And they are, over there Hashem is saying that before Mashiach comes, before the Gula comes, I'm going to send Eliyahu HaNavi, and what's going to be his mission? He's going to restore kids' parents' relationships. The hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the kids. He's going to fix it up. I mean, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. So I think that us not wanting to, you know, continue this trauma and wanting to heal these relationships and building relationships with the kids is a part of, I feel it is a part of Eliyahu HaNavi and Geula. Of, you know, many of my friends that tell me that their kids are mamish, their biggest rebbes and their biggest teachers. Without the kids knowing, it's just that, I think this is the nekuda here, it's that if you're going to genuinely teach something to your kid, then first of all, you're not going to want to lie. If you're lying, you're not going to teach your kid a lie. And I would also say that your kid won't take your lie. You won't. Kids are honest. Like if you're in a wrong, crooked way because you found yourself, your kids will be like, Dad, why are you doing that way? Like, that's not what it says.
The kid knows how to read their parents' emotions.
Right?
Tell the world kind of
and it's very pleasant for a parent to get corrected by their own kid because it's like, imagine your kid's your teacher. It's like very, you know, imagine your little daughter is teaching you right. Like, wow, that's great. Okay, so the correction. So again, what are we doing over here now? We're seeing how this pasuk of Bezois Yove Arna LaKodesh is not just talking about Aaron, it's talking about a person that wants to enter Kedusha. Yadayim Shefcho Dam Naki, Chashon, people that were involved in murder, or Dam Naki is also, it's very interesting because Damim, Damim is also bloods, and Damim is also money. Damim tarte mashma. Blood and money are very connected.
Same shoresh, no?
Same shoresh. Also, if you see blood in your dreams, it's also connected to money. Dam, blood.
Good money or bad money?
What?
More money or less?
Or like a good way or a bad way.
But either Damim tarte mashma. There's a lot that has to do with. So over here, if a person is shofchas dam naki, that means that a person that was involved in bloodshed, but also bloodshed, I think also could be over here also being involved in not kosher money. Not kosher money. Ukshartem l'ois al yadecha. Tefillin shel yad, tying the tefillin shel yad. When we tie the tefillin shel yad, we tell Hashem, what are we doing? We're putting the tefillin parallel to our heart to uplift, l'shabed v'zeh ta'avot u'machshavot l'benu l'avodotai d'baruch shemo. To harness our animal soul and all its functions and all its strength to be a chariot for Hashem, right? The right is taking the left, tying it down. It's very deep. We don't realize that we do this every day, but when our right ties the left, it's a very, very big...
Chesed, no?
Yeah, it's the higher side in you subjugating the lower side in you, the godly side subjugating the animal side. It's very, very deep.
Saddle
but again, this is a antidote to a person using their power. Meaning my hands symbolize my strength, my power. If I was using my powers in a selfish way, whether it's to kill or whether it's to collect money, whatever it is, now I'm using my hand, the same hands,
in a way to bring godliness into the world. Now you could bring, use the same activity, chavilah shel mitzvahs, to bring this koyach into kedusha. Lev choresh machshavot aven. Very, very deep. A heart that's thinking thoughts of nothingness.
Excuse me, 21st century.
What's the thing? The heart is very deep. A person's heart is very deep. A person's heart could contain, imagine in your heart you could contain God. Unbelievable. We just read, Hashem says, the world is mine. Who could build me a home? We just had enough. But in your heart, Hashem could rest. If you make a place where Hashem could rest. So the heart is very, very powerful. And the heart thinks. But if you read the pasuk says, Lev choresh machshavot aven. What's choresh? Who knows what the word choresh what? Plow, very nice. Nice reply. Plowing. How is plowing and thinking the same?
You're working over the land.
Like, what? You're working on the land.
You're processing.
What is plowing? What's the next step after plowing?
Sowing.
After that?
Growing.
Again. Very good. Growing.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. So your thoughts give birth to the type of speech and type of action that are going to come from that. So that's why the thinking in the Lashon HaKodesh is called Chayrish. It's called plowing. Because when a person is thinking bad thoughts, what they're doing is they're preparing their ground for all kinds of bad that could grow from it. all kinds of negative stuff could come out of those bad thoughts. So the heart, when you find yourself, that's what the Naaman HaMelech writes, when a person finds himself bored, doing nothing, lying in bed, trying to fall asleep, what are you going to do? Start thinking thoughts of... A lot of American numbers calling. Is there a Gooper or something?
Is there a what?
This must be a group of American. Okay. Where were we?
When you're thinking.
Oh, so not enough, right. So when you're lying in bed, you don't know what to think. You should have in mind that you're jumping into fire and you're dying of Kiddush Hashem and like, mamash.
You start to think about Gemara. You're
like, how am I going to fall asleep after that?
No, I tried to think about Gemara one night when I was going to sleep and I couldn't fall asleep because I was too distracted thinking about the Gemara, so I had to turn it off.
The next day in Gemara, Shira, you passed out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there was once a rabbi that went on vacation.
Yeah.
So they took their Mexican lady with them.
Yeah.
And they're packing up. And the Mexican lady says, Rabbi, could I ask a question? She says, of course. She says, do you mind if I take one of your big books with on the vacation? She says, what? Why? She says, listen, since I'm a kid, when I go on vacation, it's very hard for me to fall asleep. But I see that every Shabbat, when you open the big book, you pass out. Okay, she didn't know what the challenge. Okay. What's the last thing going?
I'm jumping on the Arabs. Let me go to the day.
Okay, so the heart, that means that it's very interesting because today, if I would ask you today, what do you think is the biggest issue in secular or culture or whatever? Like, what is the one? What's the root issue of everything? What? Instant gratification?
Yeah.
What do you think? Come on,
that's a good summary of it, but basically just
conformity.
Not knowing who you are.
Being at peace with themselves or not, really.
Like, not being at peace with yourself, not knowing who you are.
Not even knowing who to be at peace with, really. That's the question.
Right. Not know, like, meaning if people knew that there's a creator to this world and there's stuff to do, they wouldn't find themselves being bored. I find that most of the issues are boredom. People have too much time and focusing on things that are... It means that a lot of time you don't realize...
To lack of belief and connection to...
Yeah, because you don't realize that that every minute is significant to something. Like, you're just killing time. Even the concept of killing time is a more... Like, killing time? What does that mean? Like, oh, it's an off time. It's a quiet season. It's like, there's nothing going on right now. So what's your heart doing? What are you thinking? What's happening in your head all the time?
Isn't there a good kind of boredom?
Nope.
Of like a boredom where you're just like kind of like just straight up is boredom.
So that's not boredom. If you're going out,
like to the society, it's boredom because you're not doing anything else. You're not scrolling. You're not reading. You're not walking. You're just sitting.
The Chayze Lublin, used to go into a room every day.
for a whole hour on his bite of this. He did this for 15 years. Every day is to go on for 1 hour just to thank Hashem that he brought into the world in the Shema of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. You know what? That's what he did. Every day we go on. You know how many tzaddikim, the stories about them, they used to go into a room and sit on a chair for 6 or 7 hours and look at a wall?
Yeah. What's the story of the guy who put a curtain on his window? Saying,
so there's no... That's not what we're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not nothingness. That's the holiest nothingness in the world. That's when a person's in bittul and in his bainanus and thinking about Hashem and creating space for Hashem in your life. If you're on that level, like, you continue doing nothing. If that's your nothing, that's a holy nothing. That's not nothing. You're taking your consciousness and you're converting it to Mishkan of Hashem. That's Gevalt. That's a Mishkan. You're becoming a Beis HaMikdash when you do that. Every second that you're holding space for Elikus by you, you are the Beis HaMikdash. As the Gemara says, called Adam Sheyesh Boy Deya, Kilan Divna Mikdash Bayamal. Person has Deya, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash is built in his days. Because you're in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Beis HaMikdash? It's a space that you're not fooled by this physicality. You're like, I'm in this physical, but Hashem is the king. If your world is unified, you're in Gula. You're living in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not the nothing that we're talking about. Nothing is when the heart's doing nothing. Things selfishness, chves, I don't know what. But that we don't realize that the heart at that point is not just thinking, it's plowing. It's plowing because those thoughts, if you just plow a field and don't plant anything, you know what's going to grow?
Weeds.
A bunch of weeds.
Not the good kind.
I'm sorry, that's funny. I didn't mean to touch that nerve.
Like, you're thinking that the rain is just coming in and washing away the soil because there's nothing to cover the soil. Like, the roots hold and cover.
It goes into nothing.
It washes nutrients.
So if you're just thinking about what happens, so what's happening in our heart? What's happening in my mind? If I'm not doing anything, I'm plowing. All kinds of weeds are growing. So the tikkun for that is v'hayu advarim ha'ele asher anochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha. That means Torah Shebaal Peh is that Torah that when a person sits down and learns Torah and then you close the book, but you're there. You could walk away from the book and you're thinking about it and you're processing it and you have chidushim. Meaning the Torah is meant to be in our heart. That energy of plowing is meant to be in Torah. Meaning, okay, you learned the pasuk, you learned the mishnah, you learned the sugya, you learned something. Great. That was the first plow. What's going to grow from it? Continue thinking about it. Continue processing it. Exactly. And then you'll put the energy into the things that you want. So the tikkun for a heart that finds itself doing chavilas shel averes. Because it's also very interesting how the Medrash use chavilas. Why is he using bundles and bundles of averes? Because it's teaching you that humans work in bundles. Whatever you're doing, you do a lot of it. You don't realize it. Like whatever you do every, like you end up bundling up, doing more and more of that, and things are similar. So if you're bundled up in averes, the tikkun is to be bundled up right now in mitzvahs. Raglaim amarot larutz lara, ve'ratz achar mila shibena berkayim. If a person ran to do averes, they should run to do shmiras abris. Because shmiras abris is the bris mila. The bris mila is between the feet. I don't know if it means here. I think I remember seeing this, or I think I saw this somewhere in regarding going to bris mila. It's a very big mila to go to a bris, to be at a bris. Obviously, everyone knows Aliyah Navi comes to every bris, but just to be at a bris. And at the bris, to mekabel upon yourself the bris that you have, to mekabel your bris, because the bris that we had when we were 8 days old, that wasn't up to us. Right? So when you rejoice with the bris, and you give your kids the bris, and you go to the bris, and you thank Hashem for the bris, and you connect to the bris, you're mekasher to the bris. Yafiach gzavim et chamas. If you are a false witness or a lying witness, v'atem edainum Hashem. We have to shift into a godly witness. Hashem calls Am Yisrael, Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses. That means that, what's a witness? A witness is an event that took place in place X. And now we're far away in place Y. But there's people that say, oh, we were in place X and we could witness that happened. So now we believe them over here in place Y. How is a Jew a witness? The pasuk the pasuk of Am Yisrael is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we know that Shema has a grand ayin. You know this, Yehuda? The letters in the Sefer Torah are there's three case letters. There could be all the letters in the Sefer Torah are medium.
Or it could be small case or big. That's called a case, no?
Uppercase,
lower case, yeah.
Case, yeah. Different senses, yeah.
So the small letters, most of the Torah is in medium letters because that's the level of the Torah. It's called Zeranpin. But some are in small and Malchus and some are big in Bina. And in Shema, in the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's the Sefer Dvarim, there's two outstanding letters that are large. The Ayin in Shema and the Daled in Echad. And there's many, many reasons for this. But one of the things that we're going to focus on is that these two letters together spell out the word Eid, Ayin and Daled. Eid is a witness. That means that we are witnesses. It means that we have an Hashem Echelek HaLikamimah, so we know about God. We don't believe in God. We know, a Jew knows God. And therefore, I could stand in this physical dimension where Hashem is totally, totally hidden and say, hey, I'm a witness. There's something I want to say. This world is not what it looks like. There's a creator to this world. It's actually all one. It's not what you look. That's what we as a nation, we're here to testify for the unity of Hashem. So if a person found themselves testifying for the wrong things or being involved in the wrong things, shift back into your main function, which you are a godly witness. That's why the Christians in America, there's a whole group of Christians that made the witnesses, right?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, we don't say that name because that's Yud Kevav, even though they spell with a J. I know, but
I met them in the Finnish speech.
It's Yud Kevav. They just spell with a J. Okay. But that concept, they're twisted.
Twisted.
Yeah, but that's that concept again. All those concepts are Yiddish concepts. We are witnesses. The second you understand what a witness is, you understand that the Jews are witnessing, we witnessing God, and we're here to testify for God. Because in this world, in the physical dimension, God is hidden. In the spiritual dimension, God is revealed. We are in both. So I could stand in the physical and say, I know God. You understand, Maishallah? We're witnesses. Tem Eidai. Meshaleach medanim ben achim nebuch, a person that was causing people to fight with each other. I don't know if this is what translates as politics or politics is a part of it, but there's a very
instigator.
There's a very horrible tendency that we see that people use other people for their all kinds of advantages. I step on you to be higher. I cause a fight between you and you, so he could do all kinds of twisted thinking. Some people don't think that way. Some people have simple minds. Some people have very, very deep minds. Very deep minds. They can make moves upon moves, all kinds of moves. The minds are very different. But if a person finds their mind in chavilas, chavilas shalveras, if they find themselves one day, wow, what have I done? I made him, I said lashon hara to him, I made him look bad to him, all to do these conspiracies. Look, what a mess. How do I make sense of this now? How do I make sense? How do I do tshuva?
You don't.
Bakesh shalom ve'rodfeu. This pasuk, Bakesh Shalom Ve'Rodfehu, is a very deep pasuk. The Medrash says it somewhere else about this. All the mitzvahs in the world, Iyatem Mitzvah L'Rodfehu. You don't have to be right of it. It doesn't say Bakesh Tzitzis Ve'Rodfehu, Bakesh Tzedakah. It doesn't say those things. The only mitzvah that you're supposed to chase after, to go out of your way and do everything you can, is Shalom. To go out of your way to make peace, to anything you can to make peace. Step out of your comfort zone, travel, anything you can. So that means that if you were b'zoy silvei aron hakodesh, now you want to come to the kodesh, say what was stopping me till now? Till now I was involved in causing issues in families and brothers. What am I going to do? I'm going to go out of my way to cause peace. I'm going to become a talmud of aron hakodesh, and this is what it says. Sefer Charedim writes down. Sefer Charedim was here in Tzfas. Rabbi Lazar Askari wrote the Yedid Nefesh. He was the gabbai of the time of the Arizal, big tzaddik. And he writes that it's the Mishnah says in Avot, Hillel Omer, Heve mitamidav shel Aaron, Oev Shalom v'Rodef Shalom. Oev et habriyot u'mekavan haTorah. It says, Hillel says, be from the Tamidim of Aaron. Oev Shalom, and he quotes his pasuk, love Shalom and chase Shalom. So he's saying that this, Lazar Asker, he says that when Hillel tells you, be from the Tamidim of Aaron, it's not just poetic justice. Oh, be from the student of this guy. Like, do what he did and you'll know. He says, if you chase peace, if you become from the Talmidim of Aaron, and when you leave this world, when you go to Shemayim, every Yid goes to his Rebbe. So you go to your Rebbe, in the Sivsa de Rechimuta, there's a besmedrish of love in Shemayim. Metivta de Rechimuta, and a Yid that's Bakesh Shalom Ve'Rodfehu, a Yid that makes it his business And he brings down a story of another big tzaddik that was in Tzfas. He brings that he used to, that was his minhag that he used to go and he used to hear that maybe two friends are fighting. He used to go to them and do what Aaron did. He used to go to them and say, Moshe, let's have a cup of coffee. What happened with Yanka the other day? Yanka came to me crying. He's so hurt. He wants to be your friend. He loves you so much. He's like, really? He wants to be my friend? And then he would go to Yanka and say, I just sat with Maishala. Maishala feels so bad about what he did. That he just wants things to be good. I said, really? He feels that way? He would lie to both of them and make peace. He wouldn't lie. It's not really a lie. Like he would connect it to the Emes Damita, the Nekuda Pnim, but Lamaisa, he would say things that were not said.
Stretch a couple things.
He was saying the things that people wanted to say. But either way, he would make it his deal to make peace between my husband and wife, and then you become Mamash on the Tamidim of Aaron HaKohen.
Who is that? What? Crazy what? Story. To the husband and wife. Woo! Sukkos. On one Sukkos. First day onto. Went to the Kaisel, needed a Suda.
Oh, yeah.
You know the story? I told you this one? Like, about.
Whenever you have an opportunity to make Shalom, it's always a big, big mitzvah. And like we said, Eliyahu HaNavi, the mission of Eliyahu HaNavi is to bring Shalom, and this is something very special that I tell you guys often, which is very important to remember. Maranam brings it down. Maranam brings down that whenever a person tells someone else good news, if I bring good news to you, so, mislabesh b'bechinas Eliyahu. You get a shtickle of Eliyahu HaNavi in you. Because Eliyahu HaNavi is called Mevaser Toiv, Mashmiya Shalom. He's the ultimate good news to the world, is Eliyahu HaNavi. Anyone that brings good news to the world, is a spark of Eliyahu. So when you right now are Baka Shalom Veretfei, you're doing the avoid of Eliyahu HaNavi, which is bringing peace between people. So, Rabbi Yochanan Pata, so this is how Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Acha Bar Simon, this is how they learned this pasuk. What is B'zayis Yav Aaron HaKohen? It's teaching a person how to do tshuva. Not just Aaron HaKohen, it's teaching every single Jew how to get into the Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan, pasuk Bekabar Tninin. Rabbi Yochanan has a different interpretation. D'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Olam Yaseh Adam Atzmo Kabarnit. Eich Yachal Asad Kabarnit is a... like a manik sfina, this is a ship, a
sailboat.
No, the captain. What's it called? The captain. No, there's no name for captain. This is his name for him.
That's where it comes from.
No, the sailor, the guy with the hat.
Yeah,
the
captain of the ship.
He's the captain.
Everything else is just captain like a space dish, you know.
Yeah. So he says, you make yourself a captain. Everyone should make himself a captain. How could I make a mitzvah? Eich ani yachal asas mitzvah. Interesting. The kabbalanitin. So the Mepharshim here explained that the Rabbi Yochanan is teaching when the Yetzirah comes on you to is attacking you, you have to look for the chabulos. Oh, that goes back to the beginning. You have the same way the captain of the ship has to be very, 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 know a lot of conspiracies, how to escape this weather and this ocean. They knew the stars and they had to deal with all kinds of captains of a ship are very, you know, chashiv. So a person should make himself a captain, how to take his ship and to navigate his ship through the storms of life. He says, you want to know how to get to the Kodesh? Realize that you're in a ship and you're in a stormy ocean and you must become a captain of your ship. And navigate through the difficulties. Rabbi Bana patarka b'mishnayot. Rabbi Bana says, what is this pasuk talking about? It's talking about mishnayos. That a person should invest himself in learning mishnayos. This is what I teach with you guys a lot also. That many of us come from the system of people that are disappointed from the yeshiva system usually come in with disappointment from Gemara. Like, I can't tell you how many times the guy sat in interviews and told me, I can't learn Gemara. I hate Gemara. I was like, do we learn Gemara here? Like, okay, no. Oh, like a sigh of relief. Like, there's no Gemara here? Okay. Oof. Why? Because that comes from people learning Gemara without Mishnayos. Cool. So when you learn Mishnayos first, you understand what they're talking about. You understand the general. And then the Gemara is the background and the degrees, the discussion. You're in the parasha, and now you appreciate the behind it. But if you're just learning all the background without knowing what you're talking about, so you could stop. Sometimes people that are, you know, a guy walked out of yeshiva and say, what did you learn today? And you could say, I don't know. And you could say, I learned this, but what did you learn? I don't know. It's not organized. If they were learning the Mishnah, you say, look, oh, I learned the Mishnah a couple, you know, when I was a kid, and I understand. Today I learned the Gemara, but okay, so organized in their head.
There's a bunch of arguments for no reason.
No, the way that Gemara is learned today is not the way it's meant to be learned. Reb Chaim Vital, just as Yartza, he writes in the Akedama to Eitz Chaim that the reason Mashiach is not here and the reason is God, all the darkness in the world, it's unbelievable Akedama, is because people learn Chitzainis without Pnimis. We learn the external parts of the Torah and they're disconnected from the inside of the Torah. And he brings it that the entire Talmud Bavli, the entire Gemara, and the Zohar are actually one. That imagine that the Zohar is the Pnimius and the Talmud Bavli is the Chitzainius. So imagine you're learning only Chitzainius. There's no Pnimius. And then you tell me that you're sick and tired of it. Like, wow, you're a healthy person. If you could tell me you find satisfaction in that, and okay, either you're just satisfied with very little, or you don't know what you're talking about. Because if there has to be Pnimius to all this. The Arizal was Nifter in the year Shin Lamed Gimel. And if the Arizal would live two more years, till Shin Lamed Hei, Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, Shiloh is the name of Mashiach, then he would have brought Mashiach. And what would be his main avodah? To connect the Pnimius of the Torah with the Chitzainius of the Torah. To show that all the Mishnas and all the Gemaras and desire, it's all one. And with the second, if Am Yisrael could learn the Torah and appreciate it that way, then it's inner Geula. It's Geula on all the levels. Okay. Dama Rabbi Bana, Lo'olam yashkia adam atzmo mishnaya shemirtak yiftachu lo. The person should always learn Mishnayas. Because if yikshar Mishnah b'mikra, Mishnah b'mishnah, is a patchul olav in a emes. If you start tying one Mishnah to one Mishnah, and then you'll start understanding the truth. Yeshuv isasek mashiirzim the Talmud. The Mishnayas, we know that also in Tzfas, 500 years ago, the Beis Yosef lived in Tzfas. Bet Yosef. Ooh.
Yeah. Which way you say?
Beis Yosef lived in Tzfat. And yeah, I thought that was a ceasefire. And at that time, there were two other tzaddikim that the name was Yosef also, and they all three of them wrote a similar chibur to the Beis Yosef, like the Shulchan Aruch. And the chibur, and imagine writing such a writing, it's a life's mission to put it out. And the Beis Yosef's chibur took off, and that was the successful one that Am Yisrael accepted. And the reason is because he learned Mishnayos. Beis Yosef, besides for his, he had a special seder in Mishnayos, and he learned Mishnayos so much that from his learning of the Mishnayos was created a Malach, the Magid. And this Malach was to come talk to him and learn with him. And his old sefer called Magid Misharim. Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. That over there he would write the teachings of how the Malach taught in Parsha every week. Okay. That's the Schus of Mishnayos. Lolam yashkia adam atzom mishnayas yimirtak yiftachu lo im letamu letamu lagoy lagoda. Rav Lezer b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi omer amud barzel mishnah. This is for you, Bueller. Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi omer amud barzel. What's a pillar of barzel? Of steel?
One of these things.
Right? Pillar of steel. You remember this one? Mishnah. Mishnah is a pillar of steel. That means what does the pillar of steel tell you, Yehuda?
It's there for good.
Also you could build on it many, many floors. Many, many things. A pillar of steel, you're good to go. If your pillars are steel, build, my friend. Your building will stand. That means that if you're learning Mishnayas, b'zoyse al v'aron al ha-kodesh. That means you clap out how the tzaddikim would teach every. What does that have to do with learning Mishnayas? They say you're right. It's also talking about aron ha-kodesh and how he goes in, but the Torah is talking to every Jew at every generation at every time, and the Torah is teaching you how do you go into the kodesh. He's telling you Mishnayas. Stick to Mishnayos. If you're just building Mishnayos, you'll be able to build pillar.
Strong foundations.
Video. Pillars of steel is foundations. When do you use pillars of steel? Foundation. That's foundations means building.
Structure.
Yeah, but also structure that could last. You could build on top. Meaning Mishnah to Mishnah, Mishnah to Mishnah, you'll eventually start from one Mishnah to another Mishnah. That's what Gemara is. Gemara is the verbal discussions of the Mishnayos. Meaning, if you build enough Mishnayos, then you'll have these discussions, and then your Gemara will stand on the Mishnayos. Otherwise, you're just talking about discussions that people had about things that you don't understand, and the concepts standing in the air. So you could learn many, 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 many discussions, but
you're
what's that all standing on?
Mishnah before Gemara?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Gemara is
the discussion.
Gemara is a discussion of the Mishnah.
Okay, so בסדר גמור. ברוך אדוני לעולם.
אמן.
We have a minute here. Listen.